received the web report, and also the, you know, the things that are happening with the site. Was there anything in particular? We talked at the staff meeting about being able to have minutes in different forms, you know, besides just up on the website, to have them in some kind of audible form. I'm getting out of my league real quickly here. And recording our meetings in such a way that instead of necessarily receiving tapes, that people could listen to the meetings on the web and things like that, which sound like really good ideas. I don't think that that everything is in place for that to happen yet, but that is something that was talked about at the staff meeting that seemed exciting to me.
We're getting closer to that. I would like to mention something about the website or the webmaster's report. This time in particular, and I don't know if I've just missed it in the past, but this time there were emails pasted that came from outside individuals, people in the community who wanted information, who emailed the webmaster for various things, and the names of a couple people were actually in the report. Now, you know, it's one thing here at a public meeting where people say their names and they're aware it's part of a public process, but I'm going to say to that we need to delete those names, and I'm not sure even the pasting of all the email text, whether that's really a good idea for your report, but that's up to you to decide what you want him to report on to you. But I would definitely, I'd actually rather have those names deleted at his level before he sends his reports to you and us. And certainly, like for this one that we already have, before that report is posted with the minutes, which of course it always is, that we...
Actually, it isn't anymore.
It isn't.
We voted to not have that happen anymore.
All right. I can't prep them. Okay, good. But even the, you know, once it's an email, it can go all over the place, so...
Yes, and I did. I wondered about that, although the ones that were in there, I think we'd probably all seen already, so it seemed like they were fairly public already. But I think that might be a good thing as far as, you know, future reports, that I think that is probably a good idea to say that if there are issues that are being worked out through inquiries on the web and stuff like that, that we can receive examples of that kind of thing being done, but not have it be personalized. I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't know if we need a motion or if we just need to have Pearl pass that along as she was about to do anyway, or how you want to...
Well, that could be a consensus, I think.
I think so, too.
Okay, thank you. That's not to say they wouldn't put, like, the name of somebody at Nebraska.gov they're working with on something. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no. People who are inquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good to know that people are inquiring,
yes.
And what about.
Right.
Yes.
But we don't really need to know who inquired.
Right.
No, good point.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't think we also... You know, we got to kind of be somewhat, we don't want the webmaster to become a, you know, some kind of, I don't know what.
Town crier.
I mean, we, you know, and it's some kind of a separate base of operation or point view, you know, have their own viewpoint or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, there should be an administrative function only and making no command decisions except on, you know, the website itself, and, you know, I don't think we want it to go, you know, I guess correspondence about the commission should not go through the webmaster.
Correct, and it hasn't.
But that's something I think we want to make sure that remains.
Yes, we do.
We don't want there to be a separate dialogue running with the public and the webmaster you know, outside of the chain of command.
A conduit is what that person really...
Exactly.
And our webmaster has done a good job of when he receives an email...
Yes, sending it.
He sends it to me, and, you know, so that's working well.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Because there are some people, though, that even though it says you have a place on the webpage to email the board or email the director, not everybody will do that. So that conduit is a very good way of considering that.
Yeah. Yeah, because webmasters don't necessarily do that. I mean, sometimes a webmaster may be a tech person who knows nothing about the entity for whom he or she is webmastering.
That's right.
If that is even a word.
Patricia, are you done?
Yeah, the code is set up and it is ready. I would like to thank all the center clients and Elizabeth Alford, a year and a half, attending a training with her mother and all the other clients to come Saturday and set it up, and it happened yesterday, actually. We have two tables. One table has...
Before you go into the lunch intro, would you please, students, I'd like you to introduce yourself so that we can recognize your efforts, and we say that we really, really appreciate you working on this for us today.
Wayne Ives.
Where are you from, too?
And I'm from Norfolk, and I'm here at the training center in Lincoln.
Cool.
I'm Henry Bartback from Grand Island. Started this week.
Wow, you're getting a...
Hey.
I'm Sarah Carter.
Initiated.
I've been here almost 3 months. I'm Kimberly Shirts, and I'm from Chatham, and I've been here 2 months.
Yeah. I'm Anthony.
We even get our former clients coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Laura Benna. I just started here at the beginning of April, and just enjoying learning everything. It's a whole new world for me, so I'm going to start with it.
And Laura missed her bus this morning. Actually, she didn't never show up. And her and Elizabeth were all the way.
Wow. And you're from Lincoln?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm originally from Columbus, but my husband and I have lived here for about 7 years, 6 years ago.
She moved to Lincoln from, where were you living?
We lived in Kearney for a few years.
Yeah, Kearney.
I don't have that anymore.
Well, thank you very much.
One more.
Oh, there's still more?
My name is Jeremy Ritchie, and I'm here filling in for the Department of Resource Management.
Yeah, I think that's everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can we tell the audience?
Yes.
Okay. Keith, why don't you tell us about the setup, please? On one table, table to your left. As they are facing us, going to be,
and they come towards us
to the right. Sorry, it has the Kobe sandwiches and the chips. There's barbecue and plain, and there's a braille label on all the items. There's braille.
Cool.
Then you have your plates and napkins, and then the table to your left has It has the tomato, lettuce, green pepper, onion, mayonnaise, mustard, oil, and vinegar. And it also has lemon bars and brownies and the iced tea with cups and little plates.
Sure.
And we have vegetarian.
Welcome. Thank you. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So those are kids testing everything out.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, it is now about 12:18 or so. About 12:45 or so, we should reconvene.
Well, then Wes could, once we kind of get set back, Wes could do his thing.
Yeah.
Get you out, guy.
Handheld reader. It's what I like to call the beginning of a revolution. It's a partnership between a pioneer, Raymond Kurzweil, and an organization that is on the cutting edge of innovation, the National Federation of the Blind. National Federation of the Blind just embarked on opening the new Jernigan Institute, which is a research and training arm of the organization. And this was one of their projects that they started off with, was this reader. Now the reader is a handheld device composed of a camera, which is affixed to a small personal data assistant, which is basically a fancy way of saying a small computer. So the little computer kind of runs, it's kind of the brains of the operation. It has the software and it's how we get read what we want read. And the way this works is we take a picture of the page that we want to read. So, if everything goes right, I have turned on the system, so what I'm going to do,
document reader,
clear everything
new
out.
Document.
Said new document. I'm actually going to slow that down a little more.
File document speed. Speed. 40%. Document reader.
So we're in the document reader. This thing can either be a document reader, has the facility to shoot the pictures that we're going to scan, or there's some user settings that we can configure.
User setting. Shooting mode.
So we're going to go into the shooting mode now. And if we weren't really... we're a nonviolent organization, but they have shooting mode on our reader. If we were just learning to use this reader device, we control the device through four push buttons and an arrow key type thing. So if I press the top part of my arrow, it's going to actually take me into what's called a field of view report. What that's going to do, it's going to tell me, what do I see on this page right now before I
field
even scan,
of view
before
report.
I scan it? So it says field of view report.
Bottom edge is visible, 90% filled.
Bottom edge is visible, 90% filled. Now that's pretty good. 90% is the part of the viewable image that's filled with stuff from this page. So we will now try to take this picture. So what's going to happen, I'm going to hit another key here.
Taking picture.
Say taking picture. And you can't hear it from all the way out there, but the camera just snapped. I was holding the reader about 16 inches above the page in the center of the page.
Picture.
Just said pre-processing picture.
Camera is 35 degrees clockwise relative to the page.
That's pretty odd.
Pre-processing image. Please wait. No text found.
No text found. You know what I think actually happened is I think I had my page turned over. I was actually scanning the blank edge. But see, as a blind person, that sometimes happens. So that's all well and good. So I'm doing the field of view report again. This should actually give us better results.
Portrait orientation.
Yeah.
All four edges are visible, 50% filled.
So it's actually seeing all four edges of this page. So it told me how I had the thing lined up. It says it's 50% filled, and that's not too bad. So we'll go ahead and shoot the picture.
Taking picture.
What does the 50% filled mean?
Well, you imagine the image area, Bob, as a big box. And of that big box, 50% of it is taken up by the page.
Picture.
So if you had something like a little credit card, you wouldn't have very
camera
much.
Camera is 3 degrees clockwise relative to the page.
I like that a little better. It's supposed to be between 0 and 10 or 90 and
processing
80
image.
And 90.
Please wait.
So it's processing the image. It's taking all the... what it saw, and it's getting it into a readable
the
form.
The image is upside down.
And that's okay.
Page 1. Untitled. Meeting agenda. Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Wonderful.
Public meeting Saturday, May 6th.
I just went to the web and printed this out.
2006, 9 a.m. Agenda. Items may be deleted and added as necessary. This is merely a draft agenda provided for your information and convenience. 9 o'clock, call to order and introductions. 9:05, announcement concerning
so we hear the agenda there, and we can stop that from speaking
meeting
at any time.
Lunch, speaking canceled.
So you guys are actually in for a treat in that I've only had this version of the reader for about a day, and so far everything's going swimmingly. That's why when I heard it say the page is upside down, I kind of got shocked a little bit, because that's a new feature in the new software.
Oh, really?
It used to just take whatever it had, run it through, and scan it. But people said, hey, you know, if we're pulling stuff off our printer and we want to scan it to know what we've got, we want to know whether it's upside down. And so they accommodated us. Now, if the page is right side up, it just says it. It assumes that, okay, if everything's upside or right side up, they really don't need to know that, so we'll just tell them if it's upside down. So now I've got another document in front of me, and we will just scan this.
Taking picture.
While this is processing, I think one of the beauties of this thing, you just heard the camera snap. One of the beauties of this thing is what it can scan. You know, if you had a flatbed scanner, imagine trying to put a peanut butter jar on there, or a big jar of Planters peanuts or something.
Picture.
You could never do it. Well, with this camera, you just aim it at the jar and it would
camera
scan.
Camera is 8 degrees clockwise relative to the page.
8 degrees, so that's good. It's between 0 and 10, like we like it. So there's a lot of potential with this thing.
Page 2. Burn. Watchers on the Hill RC-984. RC-975. By Sean Doolittle. Mr. Pniacris, I am in. Read by Anastasia Smith. React me, Margeriaglo. Two cassettes.
Somehow get into Bill's
a seasonal wildfire in Southern. Charlotte Valentine was once a speaking cancel.
Do you want the keys under
document
there?
Reader?
Huh? Not really, no.
User settings.
How far away do you have
press
to?
Press up or down to your settings.
Well,
camera
to
reading
what you
mode.
Want to read.
Bills and memos.
Are further away.
Well, what you have, Nancy, is that like I was saying, the image area, like 50% filled or whatever.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is by using that field of view report. You want to try to get it to where it says above 50% fill.
Okay.
And you do that by putting the camera further down or further away from the page. And the reason that really didn't read very well was because I was complacent and didn't put it in the mode that it was supposed to be. This thing can either read bills and memos or books and articles.
Okay.
And the difference is that when bills and memos, it reads straight across the page, because on bills, you see oftentimes where it's got the reason for the charge, and then maybe like a total. So if you had it in books and articles, it would read down the column and read, it wouldn't make any sense, so.
Reading mode switch to books, articles, and labels.
Let's try that scan again now that we've
shooting mode.
Remedied that situation. and that happens to the best of us, you know, you get to reading your, you know, I was using this last night to read mail. I forgot what mode I had.
Well, the thing that is neat to me is that, you know, when you're doing this, you're showing us what can happen when you do something, you know, it isn't just a canned thing, and I really like that.
Me too.
I know I'm going to do that stuff.
Well, I do it all the time. I'm like, why in the world are you not reading my document?
And then
I know what to go check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see, notice I didn't do the field view report.
Three,
I've gotten to a point.
Two cassette books.
There we go.
Faction. Watchers on the Hill. RC-975. By Stepaniacris Winson. Read by Maori Glow. Two cassettes. Charlotte Valentine was one surreptitious beauty in search of an alley officer for a husband. But the events in her life have changed her into a person.
Yeah.
Hope to find upon her return to Fort Robinson. With the unexpected appearance of two former bows, she can only trust God to heal her wounds and to move forward in faith. Find Rich Portraits Series Number 2, Prairie Summer, RC-981.
But you can tell that we were reading the latest issue. I might be the latest issue of the interchange.
So then you want it to go up and spell a word.
So what we can do, we'll help this speaking. Now, in the document reader, which we'll go to right now, there's one arrow key used lets us adjust the speed, or, you know, like go through different options related, like I'm pressing the down arrow now, so you'll hear
File Explorer. Document paging.
These are different things we can change.
Multiple pages.
That dictates, okay, do I only keep one page and throw anything else away, or do I keep a pending page as the end of the document?
Speed, 40%.
That's the speaking speed.
Volume. One, File Explorer.
We're going all the way around now. I'll press on the upper part of the thing here.
Read by line.
Read by line, now.
Read by word.
See, this is cycling through the reading units. So I can now use my left and right arrows to go through the text. Come on. I know you have text in here, now why are you not? Come on.
File Explorer. To exit, press F3.
I didn't ask you to
Document
elsewhere.
Reader. Go. 10. Year old. Rachel.
Now, if I wanted to know how to spell Rachel, I press my up arrow again because we're going to change the reading unit.
Read by character.
So?
A, C, A, R, A, C, A, A, E, L.
So? Wow,
that's good, too.
Read by document.
Now, see, that's read by document.
Read by page.
But if I want to...
Read by paragraph. Read by sentence. By Bonnie Geard, read by Beth McNeil, I cassetted a summer 1954 on the family farm in South Dakota.
Now, does it think of a sentence as anything ending with a, like a period or whatever?
That's the way I assume. I don't know what the delimiter is that tells it, okay, you're at the end of the sentence, but it does...
yeah, because like Microsoft Word gets real confused about that.
yeah, it really does. But yeah, this... or, you know, if you just press this... because in the middle of this little arrow box in the middle of the thing, there's an enter key. If I press this enter key, it's just going to read from where I'm at to the end of the document. So there's a say all function if you don't want to read by these different reading units. But it is nice that you can... because you're only interacting with this reader. There's no keyboard. It's only 1, 2... if you count the arrow, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 keys. That's all you've got to play with here.
So the thing you take the picture with is the enter key later on? I mean, when it's reading?
Well, no. What they do is they redefine this arrow key to do different things. This arrow box, which has 4 sides. So
yeah.
Like when you're in document reader, the upper part of the arrow box cycles through reading units. The left and right moves you by those units. The down part of the box takes you through different options to set in the document reader. But okay, if I switch my mode with my F2 key to the shooting mode, the upper part of the arrow becomes field of view. The down part of the arrow becomes shoot the picture. And left and right still are read the text by the unit set in the document reader.
Oh.
It sounds really hard right now, but when you catch on, it really becomes very easy.
That actually makes sense.
Now, you said this was a new version, Wes. Did they make just some subtle changes? Or?
Yeah, what they did is they, as with any other software product, they made some changes. They changed some wording in some of the menus. And the biggest thing that I've noticed is the images upside down or images whatever. They've also added descriptive text to things. Before, if you had a really long document that it was taking it forever to try to scan in, sometimes when you take a picture of something, it would sit there and it would beep for like 5, 10, 15 minutes. Like, what in the world's going on here? Now they've got it programmed to, in addition to those beeps, come on and say, processing image, please wait every few seconds. So you knew what in the world was going on in there.
So you didn't think that you had done something wrong.
Well, yeah, and that, if you're new, you're thinking, well, why is this not doing anything but just sitting here beeping?
Is the type of process, I mean, like to distinguish color, I mean, there are color... reading devices, but is this the way this is configured? I mean, would this be able to do color, or is the way that it works not really conducive
I'm
to
sure if
color?
They wrote this,
I am ready.
I'm sure if they wrote
Camera
the software,
is on.
That's just a little reminder. What it does is when it's been sitting on the table for a while, it says something every once in a while to let you know that it's on, drinking battery power. Color aspects of it, I mean, it's not written into the software now, but what this has is a 5-megapixel camera, which, if you're taking a picture, would take in color information. So if you wrote the software to harness that information as it came in, I'm sure that they could. It's just not written into the software right now, but I'm sure that, I'm sure it could.
Yeah, color and money, I mean, those would be two good things to add to this to make it, because like any device, I mean, it's... if you're going to throw down that kind of dough, it's nice to have.
Yeah.
Sure.
C- Because those are things that obviously...
You know, yeah, a lot of people have asked for the money identification, and I think that would be a good thing to have, and I think it's in the works.
So right now, its big thing is contrast. That allows it to read, you know, to find text as opposed to, or whatever it is, as opposed to whatever the background is.
Yeah, I think that's right, and it has to be kind of in a standard font. Like if you read some, like some product labels, you know, they'll say, you know, French's mustard or whatever, but it won't be like writing French's mustard in Microsoft Word. It's got the funny letters and stuff, and that sometimes screws things up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what will happen if it's something, you know, fonts that are totally, you know, will it just tell you that there's nothing there?
Well, what it'll do is it might say no text found, or it might try to recognize it, and you'll get something that's totally garbage, like numbers and letters and stuff. It's just, it's trying to see, okay, what do I recognize here? And it might not be what you think it is.
Are you finished?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is Val.
Uh-huh.
What is the name of that again, K?
This is the KNFB handheld reader, and it's a partnership between Kurzweil Educational Systems. You might recall them from the Kurzweil 1000 software that's currently out now. So it's a partnership between Kurzweil and the National Federation of Blind. And it's being marketed through a company called KNFB Reading Technologies Incorporated.
Can it, like, through... You know, like if you had something with a gloss, you know, like a cover, can it, you know, shoot through the, you know, the plastic cover, or do you need the, or, you know, glass or anything? I mean, is it, can it shoot through that?
Well, I went to Laszlo's the other day and I read the menu. You know how restaurants put their menus in those little sleeves?
Yeah.
It was reading that pretty good. One of the neat things that they've added to this latest version of the reader is called a polarizer. And what that does, it's supposed to focus the light. I'm no photography expert.
I am ready.
But before, it was just a straight camera.
Are you done with your
screen? Now what they did is they put these little polarizer sheets over the flash and over the lens in this newest version of the reader. And supposedly that is supposed to cut down on glare from glossy surfaces or other things. And so I don't know how that will affect.
Okay, our time has... run out. Thank you very much, Wes.
And please turn off the camera to shut down. Or press goodbye.
Goodbye.
See, it won't even let you shut everything down unless you have the camera off first. It's a safety feature.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Does it come with like a wire to hook to a USB port in your computer?
No, there's a storage card inside of it. And the storage card stores all the images that you save. So you have to have a card reader to copy the information to your...
Is it a regular compact flash card?
Yes, it is.
So you can use that into your PadMate?
Well, with one stipulation, the documents are, for some reason, they haven't done a plain text conversion on these yet. They have little bits of information that tell the reader how the document is formatted, embedded in the text, but you can vice versa. You can take a text, rich text document from your computer and the reader will read it. So.
Wow. So is it like that KES stuff?
It's its own little format.
Well, they change it, like if I go to a meeting and I get an agenda, scan it, and then I want to put it in my PadMate.
I'm going
to
suggest it, because I've been thinking about that. It should be able to convert it to an RTF.
Yep.
Hubert, could I get a little assistance getting those,
sure.
Getting those speakers down?
Yep.
Thank you very much, Wes.
No problem.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Boy, this has been our technology day.
And thanks again to the students. The lunch was wonderful.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Patosh, and thank you, students. And you, too.
Daryl is not here, remember?
Oh, Daryl is not here. Hmm.
So let's assign him something.
Oh.
Oh, this is your first time here, sorry. Yeah. Bob, can you show Daryl? And of course we use break time for that instruction, which nobody would want to...
Yeah, we wouldn't want to miss, so... So what's your pleasure, guys? Should we move ahead or should we wait?
Now what's next? Let's see where.
Friends of the Commission.
Let's charge on.
Let's charge. We have a quorum.
Okay. Is the recorder going?
Yes.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Friends of the Commission update, including the report from you, Bill. So, you want to go ahead?
Okay, it won't be very long. Most people remember that I've been sort of, oh, not critical, but concerned about the way the Friends of the Commission were operating by not following the bylaws exactly. And I think Barbara heard that enough, so she told me to get a report. So my first step was to contact the IRS to find out. When we first got the tax exempt status, there's a letter there indicating that in 2007 they would make a review of the, you see, that it was functioning in accordance with the bylaws. So I contacted IRS to see if they had established a time in the coming year for that review, and they said the rules have been changed, that they no longer make a routine check of all nonprofit IRSs. The only time they review now is if there's some indication of fraudulent and unlawful situations involved in the nonprofit, or they have failed to file their report, their income tax report, information report, actually, if they've received more than $25,000. Otherwise, they don't do anything. So that was my main concern, that possibly if they conducted a review and they felt that the Friends of the Commission were not operating properly, that they might lift that tax exempt status, but that's not the case. So the commission is free, Friends of the Commission are free to do as they've been doing in the past. It seemed like they've been doing just fine. Sorry to hear that Mike has resigned, but that's the extent of my report. There's no concern about the way that they're doing things. They're just fine.
Okay, that's a good thing to know, and thank you for following up on that and checking with the IRS, because it certainly, we wouldn't want to lose it on a technicality.
That's right.
Is there anything else on the Friends?
Not from this angle.
Okay, and yes, we are all sorry to hear about Mike resigning. The next item is the NIS update. Is there anything new with those guys?
They did implement the version that they had been holding back on because of accessibility issues. I'd like to ask Wes, since he's here, to tell us a little bit about that. It has been gone live, as they say. And so, Wes, would you just give us a short rundown of that?
Sure. New version has gone live, and what we had to do was implemented some JavaScripts and wrote some documentation to help folks understand what was going on. We just had some issues with some tables and everything, and we worked through that, working closely with the software vendor, working closely with the folks at the state of Nebraska. It seems to be going well.
Yeah, and they've also kind of looked to us to know all the blind people who work for the state of Nebraska, and we've tried to, so that we make sure we don't just train our staff on things that we might need to know. We've tried to offer when things were changed or training might be needed to the few other blind staff employees that we do know about. But anytime if there's someone you know of, anyone who hears this that uses JAWS as a part of their work for the state of Nebraska, we certainly would be glad to include them in either training we might do, or if when we're asked, we always include you, Mary Susan.
Right.
And there's one other person that we know about here in Lincoln that does. So we always do try to let whoever's coordinating it know of the people. But, you know, there could very well be other people that we just don't happen to know about. And so I just... Yeah, you know, and I don't know if NIST, does the university system use NIST too, or just state agencies? I think not.
University, I don't think uses it.
Yeah, so. But so just something to keep in mind over time, if there is somebody, they're welcome to contact us, and we'll, or they can have their agency contact the NIST people directly, that's even better, but, you know, however it works, we certainly don't want to exclude anybody. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, both of you. The next item is the NFB Newsline update.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Just a couple of things real quick. Our current subscriber total is 1,060. Excuse me, 1,061. We had one yesterday. And I need to let people know that as of about a month ago, we added the Associated Press and United Press International to the Nebraska channel on NFB Newsline. So now when you go to the Nebraska local papers channel, it's channel 3 at the main menu, you're going to find the Lincoln Journal Star, the Omaha World Herald, the Grand Island Independent, and then you're also going to find the UPI and the AP. Now, the unique thing about these two features, the AP and UPI, is that they update constantly, whereas once a feed comes in from a regular newspaper, it's there. Once an article is posted, it stays there for 48 hours. The AP and UPI update constantly. And you'll be able to note when the article came in, because at the beginning of each article, there's a timestamp. So for instance, this morning, I read an article that was posted last night at 10:55 p.m. And if I read today's issue, it's anything after midnight. It's also pretty neat because the articles are ordered from most recent to earliest, whereas all the newspapers are done the exact opposite. They just come up in the order that they come up in the sections. So you can read all the current stuff first and then go back and read whatever it is you may have missed from earlier in the day. So I encourage everybody to check that out. It's a neat feature. And that is my report, Madam President, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and this doesn't have anything to do with the meeting, actually, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody got the news that the little Burrish boy has a name. He's Noah Shane Michael Burrish. So that kid has a lot of spelling to learn.
So that'll be interesting when they're telling him no and Noah. That'll...
No, Noah.
No, Noah.
Anyway, we're all excited for the Burrishes. And
that's what I should have named my son. No, he got no enough. I would have saved some time.
Okay, the next item is the new commissioner's packet update.
Okay, well, we don't have a physical packet because so far new commissioners have wanted things electronically and have used the website for a lot of the material that we would give to a new commissioner is on the website. I did develop a little checklist which will revise over time as needed and also make sure that we do with each new person. I have listed the person's name and then tour the center with a blank to check after they've done it and the date, which as Carol mentioned earlier, he did tour the center April 4th, which was great. Give print copies of all chapters of rule, yes. Offer copies of all, or the rest of these are all just to check off if it's been done or not. Offer copies of all chapters of rule in alternate format. The life you choose video, described or non-described options. the website map to use as a checklist for reading completed. That's something that we don't have that yet, and maybe map isn't the right, maybe website menu is more to the point. I see it as kind of a table of contents, and so we don't really have that yet, so we haven't given it to anybody yet. But Daryl assures me that he's, you know, been going to the website and checking out all the links, and so that's really great. But eventually I want to have something of this type. And then loan the SRC training workshop DVD for viewing. I did provide that to Daryl, and that one actually has a date also. I gave that to him on April 22nd.
See if I need that back for soon.
Yeah, well, whenever you, okay. Just so it doesn't get lost, you know, we will want to have that back.
Bring it with me.
Yeah. And we can add other things to this, but that's the list so far. If we get a commissioner one day who wants everything in large print or who wants everything in Braille, we will put together basically the physical packet to hand to people. And we're open to any suggestions.
Now, are the past motions and I know that we talked about having that as part of whatever, making sure that people who come onto the board are familiar with those. Now, Bob just sent them out, so Daryl would have had a chance to see them, but if we don't have some kind of established...
Yes. Thank you. That should be on this list. So thank you very much.
That might even be something to put on the website too, because they're,
yes,
you know, it's got the commissioner's mission statement, job description, or whatever. I mean that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be very good to have on the website, but also have to something that is part of this packet to make sure people get it, because it's specific to the board, you know. Mm-hmm. So okay, so let me. Did you receive that, Daryl?
What's that?
From Bob just yesterday, I think, the past...
yeah, probably.
The motions
I was
motions that have been passed, not
in
to
past
be confused
meetings.
With historically...
I see what you mean.
No, but they are from the past.
Yeah, I didn't check last night. I was gone.
Okay. If you don't have that yet,
okay,
please let
check.
Me know.
Okay.
I'm sure you do, because you've haven't had any.
No, I haven't had any trouble.
The various emails, so I'm going to check that you have it. But if you don't,
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Let me write that down.
Anything else that I've neglected to put on here that you think should be here? What about the statute itself? Should that?
Yeah, that'd probably be good too.
Yeah, that created the commission, yeah.
And the job description.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked in the email correspondence about things like the background history thing that Dr. Nyman and Val unearthed, and
the training tape from we got last year at in Kansas City. It kind of had a history of the Rehab Act and
that's
now that
there.
She did have, you know, she gave him on the 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So he does have that. But I was talking about the thing that was mm-hmm. specific to this agency.
And since that's something that hasn't been completely put together as a document, that's something.
But whenever we do, you know, whenever that kind of thing is around, I think it would be good for people to have some background. There's a lot that ought to be written that isn't.
Right. Okay, if you think of things later that you haven't, weren't mentioned here, please just let me know.
You know, and I might think, forget about it later, but it comes to mind, you know, with all these new senators, state senators, they're going to be coming on board.
Oh.
We might want to prepare a, you know, it can't be too much, they won't read it, but something, a fact sheet or something that we give each of the new senators, because there's going to be 20 new senators at least. And, you know, the things that, you know, right now, a lot of the senators are pretty up on the fact that most of our money comes, you know, as match. And, you know, the things they've learned over the years, well, that information's all going to be lost to the new senators. So to have something to, we could send out as kind of as a welcome, invite them to the tour of the center and, you know, just a little welcoming kit.
Yeah.